Hey folks, Heather Cox Richardson and Joanne Freeman here. Thank you for being members of the Cafe Insider community.
This is Backstage, a special segment of the Now and Then podcast exclusively for you. We hope you enjoy it. So, Heather, here backstage, I feel the need to ask you, now that we have a moment to stop, about the pee on the rug theory. Tell me exactly how that came to be.
So actually, this I think will make a lot of sense to you. It's kind of a theory from teaching. That is, if you think about what we do in a classroom, I think teachers are especially well equipped to foster speech and sort of be referees, if you will. So if you have a classroom of people, you want everybody to be included. You don't want anybody to feel like their speech is not valuable, but you also are almost by definition going to get bullies and people who say completely crazy off the wall things, but you don't want to call it out as crazy and off the wall because then you're going to silence everybody else. I don't put it this way in a classroom. I actually have a document I give to people about how to handle delicate topics and all that sort of thing. But I took that idea into the public forum because isn't that really where we are? I mean, if you think about social media and Twitter, you and I are both very active on Twitter and I'm very active on Facebook. And people used to say horrible things on my Facebook page. And if I banned them, and I don't mean necessarily just to me, they would say, you know, hey, Joanne, you're a flaming moron who, you know, should eat worms under the dark moon or whatever. And I made that up, by the way.
I might save that one, though. That's kind of poetic. But anyway, go on.
And then I would ban them. And they would come back to me and they'd say, "What? Why did you ban me? Don't you believe in free speech?" And I would have to say, you know, you are welcome to say anything you want, so long as it's factual and respectful. And if you're willing to abide by those terms, you're welcome back into my party. And invariably, they would say, you don't like free speech. And so I sort of turned that into the you're welcome, but don't pee on my rug principle. But it fits for the classroom, don't you think?
Oh, absolutely. And it's, you know, I always feel like actually at the beginning of a semester, I think about this all the time as a teacher, but at the beginning of a semester, before the students really know each other, in a way, people are getting a sense of who's in the room and what they can and can't do in the room. And it's at that early point that if you shut someone down for saying something rude or accusatory or something, if you just say you can't say that or, you know, take that back or you take that back or whatever, you will shut down all conversation in that classroom in its entirety.
Forever.
Forever. That will be the end of the semester. And it's for good reason, right? People all then begin to think, ooh, well, if I speak up, will I get accused of saying something I shouldn't say? So that, as you just suggested a moment ago, the key is to act accepting of it while framing it so that the students can see that you are responsible for it in some way. So in other words, whether that means, well, that's an interesting view on one side. Does someone have another view on another side they want to add? Or, well, that's a strong point of view. Do we have other strong points of view in here? Whatever it is, on the one hand, acknowledging what has been said, that you heard what is said, and then weighing in to make it clear that it's not just going to hang out there by itself, taking over the conversation. You know, setting up a classroom as a place where there is free speech and there are boundaries and rules at the same time, but the boundaries and rules aren't sort of hanging from banners down from the ceiling, but are understood. That's an interesting way of thinking about free speech because it's you set a stage for free speech that people understand. You said you hand out a statement. I don't normally hand out a statement, but you set a sort of premise for what language, what speech will sound like in that space where you are running that space. And students obey that. Or they understand that when they're not obeying it and they look to you to see what it is you're going to do about it. But either way, it creates a kind of free speech in a classroom.
We should be clear that we are not literally the government in charge of free speech. We're talking about the classroom as a space that kind of looks like a public forum, but it's a public forum with some guardrails. And I have to laugh about you. Here's one strong speech and here's another strong speech. I shouldn't even tell you this because people are going to hear it. And now they're going to know what I do. Especially in public fora, when somebody says something really like not okay.
Over the top.
Or whatever. Way over the top. And not necessarily even just racist or sexist or dumb. Just something that's like, on Mars, right? And you're in a public forum and you don't want to humiliate the person. So my go-to is, well, I would put that a different way. So when they say, did you see that, you know, the Atlantic Ocean has turned purple and there are mermaids all through it, I would say, well, I would put that a different way. And we really need to be examining climate change or something.
I have a similar version. And that is, so it sounds to me like what you're really saying is something entirely different from what you just said.
Exactly. I think the whole issue of free speech and why people like Elon Musk and the approach to Twitter are important is because what we're really talking about is the exchange of ideas. And we're talking about in the classroom, we talked about in the episode as being in the country in general. But now we have this new issue of the electronic public space, if you will, that currently is privately owned. And that brings up all these different issues of access. And, you know, my big thing is amplification. I think we should have, you know, regulation of the algorithms that, you know, throw certain right-wing commenters way up the charts and silence, you know, really good publications. Like I know Mother Jones had a problem with that. And we don't know what to do.
Well, precisely. And we might actually end up talking about this on the third of our free speech episodes. Part of this is a question of technology, new technologies and new audiences and new powers that we don't know what to do because things are being tested in a way at a time of crisis that perhaps hasn't happened before. So it's interesting when we talk about issues like this. On the one hand, historian me, who's interested in things about having to do with democracy and technology over the long haul, historian me is really fascinated by these kinds of issues that we're talking about here and how they're playing out. But Joanne Freeman me, who's hanging out here living in 2022, Joanne Freeman me is interested and also understands there's some real urgency here. We really need to be not just talking about these things, but at least for the moment in our current context, figuring them out. Thank you for joining us backstage.
Be sure to write to us with your thoughts and questions at letters@cafe.com. See you next time.